Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Allison Caro, and we're going to be talking about organizing and decluttering your life. Allison is a professional organizer, and for most Americans, clutter is something that we battle every single day. It's part of our culture, and we are told that the person with the most things wins. But to what advantage? How are we actually winning by accumulating so much stuff? Too many belongings, activities, responsibilities, paperwork, and the list goes on. First of all, it's exhausting and, exhausting and overwhelming. It can also impact our productivity, health, and happiness, and they all suffer as a result. Again, Allison is a professional organizer and speaker, and you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.ackorganizing.com. Again, that's ackorganizing.com. And I do have a direct link to Allison's website in the show page description. I'd like to welcome Allison to the show. Good day, Allison.
Hi, Robert. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. My little introduction got disorganized there. that's okay. I'm really glad to have you here. You know, this is one of those areas, like you say, affects most Americans. I'm certainly one of those, and I go through my periods of, you know, getting on an organizing kick, and then all of a sudden, you know, works great for a while, then it kind of slacks off a little bit. So I'm really looking forward to getting some tips from you and learning a little bit more about why it is that we have so much clutter. So, first of all, I'd like to start with, I recognized that you came from a home environment where both parents had very different organizing styles. Would you mind sharing with the listeners? Because one of them, I think you said, was a pack rat, and I was like, is that an organizational style?
Well, it's not an effective style, I wouldn't say. But yeah, I mean, there's different behaviors that people tend to do when they're organizing. And a lot of times it's, you know, taught from their parents or their parents' parents or whatever. Organizing isn't something that's actually usually taught as a skill to most people. It's usually, oh, well, this is what my mother did or this is what my father did, and so I'm going to follow in the exact same way, much as we do for a lot of things. The problem is if their style wasn't very effective, as in the case of my dad being a pack rat, it's not really going to help you. Although with my mom, I mean, she is almost military precision neat, and that for me really wasn't something that I wanted to emulate either, because I actually like a little bit of clutter in my life, or it doesn't have to be perfect, really. And so I wanted to find a system where I could be effective for me and live in an environment that worked for me, and that includes having, you know, a little bit of clutter in it, or, you know, things that don't have to be completely perfect. But I do like what I learned from my mother, which is creating effective systems that are easy so that I know where everything is and that I walk into my home and I don't immediately feel exhausted because there's so much stuff everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you use the phrase, you know, that you're, you like a little bit of clutter, and it seems that you know, it's a very individual thing. I mean, I've, you know, I've seen, like when I was in the corporate world, I've seen, you know, offices that were that very much precision-y, and then some that I walk in and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like I couldn't find a thing there. And but then for that individual, it seemed to work. And so it seems like you kind of have to figure out, you know, what works for you and maybe, you know, kind of maybe step up your system a little bit, I guess.
Well, I mean, I would be very willing to go out on a limb and say the people whose offices looked like they didn't know where anything was, they would claim that they had an effective system that worked for them, but I'm not really sure how effective it is. Because number one, when you have all of that paper and all of those boxes, that's taking up space. It's not just taking up space in your office, but it's taking up space in your head. How can you focus and be productive when you have all that stuff surrounding you? I don't know anyone who thrives in an environment that is chaotic versus thriving in an environment that makes you feel happy and open. And that's really the big difference. It's about learning about what environment do you work best in, but still allows you to thrive in. And you know, again, it's, you can have a little bit of clutter in your life, but when you take 10 minutes to find your keys, that's not effective. When you're constantly late for anything and everything, that's not effective. When you wake up every day and you're still tired, that's not you being effective. And that's the things that people don't realize and that really trip them up, is that organizing is a lot more than just making your place look nice. It's about making your life easier. It's about being more productive. It's about feeling better on the inside and on the outside. And there's a lot more that goes into it than people have that really do they even understand. And then keeping all of those items that you don't like, you don't need, and you don't use in your home, how would that not wear you out? How would that not be a completely ineffective way to live? I mean, a lot of those things, not only are the things that you don't enjoy, but half of them you're keeping out of guilt or shame or fear. And that's an energy just lying in your house that's certainly not going to make you more productive in life.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'd like to maybe examine, first of all, why do you think it is that, you know, we are accumulating so much? I mean, what is it in our mental processing, you know, that... Is it that, you know, he who has the most, you know, is successful type of thing? Or is it, what is it that it seems that we're accumulating more and more nowadays?
Yeah, well, our culture is telling us to do so. I mean, every time you look at an ad, it's how to be richer, how to have more, how to, you know, do more. We have a corporate culture. We're somehow working 12 hours a day and 60-hour work weeks are somehow normal and something to be looked upon with admiration versus going, wow, it doesn't seem like you're spending your time very effectively at the office if you need to be spending that much time there. It's about ignoring the things that you know, I feel like we're being told, hey, working and having a lot of stuff is what's successful, and yet when I go into anyone's house where they're working and they have a lot of stuff, not one of them seems happy, not one of them seems healthy, and not one of them seems to be, you know, living the life that they really want to be living. They're sort of so stuck in that mentality of you have to have more, have more, have more, that they're literally burying themselves under all of it. Most of it, they don't even know what they have and could barely care about. So do you really want to be living in a home where you have stuff that it's A, just stuff, and B, you don't even care about it? I mean, that's a reflection of who you are, and yet you've chosen to surround yourself by stuff that is meaningless. I don't know how you can have a happy, healthy, productive life if you surround yourself with people, with activities, with stuff that is completely and utterly meaningless to you. And that's what I really want to raise awareness of, is there is so much more to life than having a lot of stuff. In fact, I just saw this great commercial for Quebec where this guy lives in Long Island. He's blind, and he goes and does all these amazing activities like hot air ballooning and kayaking and all these amazing things, and not once did he talk about all the stuff that made it possible for him to be happy. It was the adventure, and it was, you know, the feeling in his heart that made him able to go and do all of those things despite his, you know, what everyone would think would be a disability. And so it's really, it's not about the stuff. It's about what you can do with all the time and what makes, you know, what is really important to you. And that's really what I want people to be getting organized about. I want you to get rid of the clutter that doesn't mean anything to you so that you can open up a space and have things come in that mean everything to you, because that's when you finally start seeing a life that you love living, and that's what keeps you wanting to continue to get and stay organized. Because you mentioned before that you'll start getting organized, it kind of works for a little while, and then you kind of get bored with it or whatever. And I don't want people to get to that point. I want them to keep making self-love-based decisions where once that clutter starts piling up again, because that can happen to me too, where the clutter, I get a little lazy or I'm tired or whatever, it starts piling up. But I set a self-love boundary of this is too much, this is starting to stress me out, and I take care of it immediately and get back on track. Because organizing, it's like a diet. If you really want to get and stay healthy, you change the way you eat forever. You don't just sit there and go, well, one day I'm not going to have a cupcake and everything's fine.
Yeah, yo, I agree. I agree very much. And that is the key to, you know, continuity, to keeping it going. Now, you mentioned self-love-based decisions. Would you mind explaining a little bit more about that to the listeners? Because it seems that, you know, that is probably at the core of what it is, why it is that we accumulate stuff.
Yeah. Well, organizing is about making decisions. The first thing you do is you find out what your priorities are. Once you know what your priorities are, it's very, very easy to then clear out anything that is clutter. Because if you know, say, that you want to lose weight, then all of the clutter would be the cupcakes and the pizzas and the McDonald's, and the non-clutter would be the healthy food. And so when you know what your priorities are, it's easy for you to go, well, that activity is not going to make my life better or happier or more productive. That, to me, is clutter. And in that, you're making a decision, because organizing is really about a decision of, do I want to keep this in my life? Will it make my life better or not? And when you make a self-love-based decision of, will this make my life better? Will I be more productive? Will I be happier? Will I have more energy? Will it take me closer to my dreams? That's a self-love-based decision. Now, sometimes what this helps you get through that hard part of, okay, I don't love cleaning my bathroom toilet, but I choose to make a self-love-based decision of, I clean my toilet not because I enjoy the act of cleaning the toilet, but because I love the way a clean toilet looks and feels to me. I don't want to walk into my bathroom and have it look dirty and disgusting. That's going to make me feel dirty and disgusting on the inside. So I make a love-based decision each time to clean that toilet because I want to live a happier, healthier, cleaner, better life. And that's what keeps me doing those tasks, which are not always that fun. I don't like, you know, organizing my own paper or going through my junk mail, but I do so, and I do so on a regular basis because I don't want to have the clutter in my life. It's exhausting, and I find that it's harder for me to focus when I have too much clutter. And when I lose focus, I can't maintain my focus on my goals, and I can't reach them as fast as I want to be able to or that I deserve to be able to. And so in each moment, I try and go, you know, and I check in with myself. And if it's something of, you know, say somebody says, oh, do you want to go run a marathon? Well, I don't like running. So that to me would give me a feeling of an internal feeling of, blah, no, that sounds horrible. But say someone's like, hey, do you want to go to Hawaii? You know, how expansive do you feel when someone says, hey, do you want to go to Hawaii and all expenses paid? You get excited. And so I really have through the organizational process, learned how to be able to check in with my internal self, which, you know, based on do I feel lighter or do I feel heavier, helps me to make that love-based decision. And then the other thing that I use is sometimes I'm not going to get an immediate answer, and I'm not really sure. Sometimes maybe it's because I have fear that's blocking me or something, but if it's something I really can't make a decision on, I make the next best self-love-based decision I can, and I give it a time limit. Say I'm not sure if I want to say okay to a project or something, I'll give it a week. If I've done nothing, taken no action towards that, I know for a fact that that's not something for me, at least not at this point in time, and I let it go. And so that's a self-love-based decision of going, you know what, I'm not really sure, I'm going to hold on to it, okay, I'm seeing I'm not taking action. That, to me, is action in itself, and I'm going to make the self-love-based decision to let that go, and if it's supposed to come back, I'm going to, you know, I'll see it, and I'll take advantage of it when it comes back to me. So it's really about making small decisions in each moment that you can of what is best for me in regards to my health, my happiness, and my goals. And it makes life so much easier when you can give yourself that gift, because the more that you give out to the planet and to others, when you don't have the time or the energy or the inclination, you're just not giving it. You're not giving of yourself. You're giving, 50%, and nobody wins in that situation. But when you start making self-love-based decisions, all of a sudden you have 100% to give not only to yourself but to others, and that's what makes life worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because as you were going through and explaining the case of maybe not making a decision right now, and if you don't go back to, I had actually one of those happen where there was basically a few people who had wanted to be on the show, and I just wasn't sure, and I kind of had them still hanging there with me trying to decide. And then, as you were talking, it was like it became clear that, the fact that I didn't immediately respond, I didn't go back to it, that just tells me that this wasn't really right for me. And, time to respond and say, it's not a good fit, that kind of thing. So it seems that, these things that maybe we have hanging, so to speak, it just seems like it's like an unfinished business, that it's another thing to kind of have in your head that requires you to go back to, and I mean, it seems like a whole lot of energy that isn't really necessary to expend on that.
Yeah, well, and it's a fear of missing an opportunity, right? And that's usually why we hold on to stuff, is we're afraid of missing an opportunity. But if we let go, imagine what other opportunities could show up. And if it's really meant to be, if that opportunity, this is what I believe, is if we're meant to have that opportunity, it's going to show up again. So, if it's really supposed to be something that you're supposed to take now, it's going to show up in a big way, and you're going to have a big positive reaction to it. You're not going to go into it kicking and screaming. So, I want people to realize that fear is the thing that holds you down and prevents you really from allowing the opportunities and the productivity and everything else to open up. And, a lot of people end up holding on to a lot of clutter in their homes because of the fear of what if I want it or need it after I get rid of it. It's the what if, the unknown, especially with taxes. People will hold on to taxes for 30 years because they're terrified that the IRS is going to call them up as soon as they throw, as soon as they throw them out and go, oh, well, we're going to need to see your receipts from that year. That doesn't happen unless you're really trying to defraud the government. So, the more that we hold on to things for fear, the more it just prevents us from really enjoying the life that we're meant to lead. And all we've got is clutter to show for it at the end of the day. And do you really want that to be your life? I had a lot of clutter? No.
Yeah, exactly. There is that, even with the – now, I noticed that there's that – the idea of a hoarder, someone who, basically, you know, just hangs on to everything. And that quite often, you know, the hoarder show, quite often you'll hear them say that, well, I feel like I may need this one day. And, you know, and so now is that the kind of the essence of why someone may hoard items?
Well,
or is that something different?
I've worked with hoarders in the past, and based on my experience, they have had a lot of trauma that has occurred to them in their lifetime, and it's a lot of guilt, fear, and shame that has come up, and it's so stuck inside of them, both mentally and physically, because I think that clutter starts spiritually, then comes through emotionally and mentally. If you don't deal with it, it comes out in a lovely physical ailments of a variety of ranges, and then it spills out into your physical world. And I think that's what the manifestation is of. There is so much clutter and fear and chaos going on inside of that person, and I've never met a hoarder who's in good health either, that it's spilled out and they're unable to control it. But it is all about a fear of letting go, because they have a fear of the future, because they don't know what to expect, and they can't let go of the past no matter how traumatic it was for them.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that is interesting, you know, and you know, one of the things that, I mean, I've had, you know, many guests especially over the last year, where the idea of letting go, you know, it seems to be predominant, not only of things, but quite often of relationships or, you know, other, you know, friends. I mean, just in general, or even, you know, situations, letting go of situations, that it seems that for many people, that's a really difficult process. And that the idea of not letting go, it seems that it would severely impact, you know, especially if it's not a healthy, something healthy that you're holding on to, that it would really be a detriment to someone's you know, progress, happiness and energy and all that kind of thing.
Well, and I don't think that people realize how much further those decisions spread than just amongst themselves. Like, if you're in a bad relationship, it's not just about you in that relationship. It's also affecting the other person in that relationship, but it's also affecting your family members and your friends and anyone else that you're talking to or have a relationship with, because it spills out. The toxic relationship will then spill out onto other things. And, the toxicity in doing activities that, you know, stress you out or exhaust you, how can you then not take that exhaustion and frustration and not spill it out into some other aspect of your life? And so we don't even realize that we're carrying this negative energy that then gets spilled out onto every other thing that we're doing, and that letting go of relationships can actually be the healthiest thing. I think that we're taught, oh, you have to have lifelong friends, and if you don't, then there's something wrong with you. And we are taught that if you let go of a relationship, that means that you're a failure. No, it doesn't. It just meant that relationship is time to go. Nothing lasts forever, right? The love might still be there, but the relationship is over. And if you cling to things that are no longer alive and viable, there is no way for you to be healthy and thrive within that environment. And when you're not healthy and you're not thriving, you're no good to anybody, including yourself. And so that, you know, and it, all of those relationships, that's just as much clutter, because the more time that you spend exhausted and frustrated and angry and unable to help yourself, much less anybody else, it just gets you deeper down into a hole until all of a sudden you've got so much clutter piled on top of you, you have no idea who you are or what you want for yourself in your life any longer. And that's not fair to you or anybody else. And the other
thing is I agree.
Yeah, and the other thing is that everything you do represents who you are. And don't you want to be that light in other people's lives where they look at you and go, hey, I like what you're doing. You can be yourself and you're comfortable in that and you're making decisions that make sense for you. I don't want to do that too. And then when somebody else sees you doing that, it automatically gives them permission to be able to do the same thing. But when you live in fear of letting go of anything and everything, your world becomes so small that you end up just getting trapped in it until you can't get out. And it's an awful prison to be in because you put yourself in there.
Yeah, I agree. And I, by the way, I do want to let listeners know that if you would like to ask Allison any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. We're going to take a short break in a couple of minutes. And after that, if there's any listener questions, we can handle them at that point. But Allison, what are some steps that people can take to start to learn to make those small, self-love-based, decisions? I mean, what are some steps, because I think, shouldn't people, especially if they're, got to the point where there's, it's so overwhelming, it's like, oh my God, where do I start? Is it really important to start with making those small decisions first in order to at least get some kind of, positive reinforcement for what one's doing?
Well, I mean, if you really want to start getting organized and make smarter decisions, I think the first thing that you have to do is, make that first small step towards loving yourself enough to say, you know what, I'm going to do this for myself, and then make an even better self-love made decision, which is to follow through on that and not just go, oh, well, one day. And honestly, what I like to recommend is start with the physical clutter first, because I think the ability to hold it in your hands, to see it, to touch it, and all that, you get that sort of ability to, hold a sweater in your hands and go, mm-hmm. Do I really like this? You have that relationship. And then the even better thing is that, if you decide that you want to get rid of that sweater, the sweater's not going to knock on your door the next day and go, well, why did you give me away? There's no justifications. So it's getting your physical stuff first. And that's really what I learned, is I did the physical stuff first, and then I was like, oh, wait, you can transfer this to everything. It's the same system, and it's the same feelings, and it's the same decision-making process that you're using for all of it. And so when you get used to it, being able to, touch it and feel it and see it and taste it if you want, and then making that decision, that by the time you get up to those non-tangible decisions, you have that internal clock that allows you to understand, yes, this is a thing that is for me, or no, this really isn't. Makes it a lot easier that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes. And it seems, because you talked about how many cases it goes from the spiritual to emotional to physical. So it seems that by working with the physical, that would start to work its way back to the emotional, back up to the spiritual. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it seems like it would seem to be a natural progression, it seems to be easier to work with the physical than, by doing that, then you become, more happier with what's going on, more energetic, then and that in turn will positively impact the spiritual aspect within your life.
Yeah, well, once you've uncovered all the physical stuff, then the spiritual stuff that you wouldn't even have been able to even have taken the time to look at will start presenting itself to you. You'll have the space where you can start seeing, oh, you know what? This isn't working for me. But until you clear out your physical space, you're never going to have any idea that that's what's even going on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we're about halfway through the show already. We're zooming right along. So I want to take just a quick 90-second break here. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to call in, 619-789-4359. And then when we return, Allison, I want to talk a little bit about some simple organizational strategies that people can learn, to be able to help them, make those self-love decisions, okay?
Great.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, my very special guest today is Allison Kiro, and we are talking about organizing and decluttering your life. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is ackorganizing.com. That's ackorganizing.com. And again, I do have a direct link to Allison's website in the show page description. And so that, we're back, Allison.
Hi. I'm sorry. What did you just say?
I was just saying that we're back. You know, people can access your website. And speaking of your website, in addition to people working with you as a professional organizer, which they can, I also noticed that you have some special MP3s for people. Can you tell us what those are about?
Sure. Yeah. Some people are really do-it-yourselfers and really want to do it for themselves and sort of learn it as they go. And so I created these MP3s so that you can listen along, and it's like I'm there telling you exactly how to clear out your space. But, you know, you don't need to pay for a full session. You can do it on your own time. You can listen to it as many times as possible, which I like, because I feel like a lot of times when I'm in a session with somebody, I'm giving them so much information, they're going to walk away with maybe 2 to 10% of it because they're just so overwhelmed by trying to make so many decisions and learn new systems. So this way you can listen to it time and time again, and it's a lot cheaper than it would be to book a session. And then I've got, 10 sessions where you and I work together, you've got my full support, and we go through every aspect of your life from your bedroom to your office, and we clear out all the clutter, you learn systems as you go, and you've got the full support. Because a lot of times, some people don't need the support, other people need a lot of support as they're growing and they're learning new skills. So I wanted to give people both options.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, for the do-it-yourselfers out there, having that MP3 where they can go back, and listen. And should they slip a little bit, it's a good reinforcement to be able to have that available. Let's talk a little bit about some simple organizational strategies that people can use, that can maybe implement, say, starting today.
Okay, so normally what I like to tell people is, first of all, keep it simple. The more difficult you make it for yourself, the more difficult it's going to be and the less likely that you're going to keep up with it. So really make it as simple as possible. So say you're the first thing you do when you come in through the door is you drop your keys somewhere. Well, you need to find a spot to hang your keys or put them in a bowl or whatever it is as soon as you walk in the door, and you keep them in that spot every single time so that you know without a shadow of doubt where your keys are at all times. This is going to save you so much time, and it's going to be a simple system. So the easier that you make it for yourself, the more likely it is that you're going to keep going on it. The other thing is put similar things together, because if you don't put your pencils with your pens, but instead you put your pencils with your toothpaste, would you ever think to put those two things together and be able to find it? No. You want to make it so easy that if you go, okay, where did I put my pencils? Maybe you'll all of a sudden think pencils and pens. Well, I know where my pens are. You have and keep it in a logical place of, okay, well, my pencils and pens are in my office in this drawer so that I can always find them. And they're always in that spot and they don't get changed, so that you always know where to put your pens and pencils away and where to get your pens and pencils. Because the main thing that gets people stuck is really not the taking out of the item. You want it, you'll go get it, no matter how hard it is to get. You'll get it if you really want it. But putting it back is a totally different story. And so you have to make it so that everything has a spot, has a designated area, so that you know where to find it, but most importantly, you know where to put it back. And that's what happens with clutter. If, say, you have an open space and then you have something, you're like, I don't know really where to put this right now, and you put that in that empty space, suddenly that becomes the I don't know where to put that space. And next thing you know, it's a table that now has a boatload of clutter of I don't know where this belongs, and you don't know where anything belongs or where anything goes or what's on the table. So the more times that you have a designated spot for something and you put it back where it is and it's easy to put away, it's going to be easier for you to keep up with that. And it has to be in a spot where it is easy to put away. Now, certain things like, say, your holiday items that you only take out once a year, sure, they can be a little bit more difficult to take in and take out if you have a lot of other storage. But if this is something you're using all the time, put it closest to where you use it most often and make it easy for yourself to put it away. So say you cook a lot. You don't put your pots and pans in another room instead of the kitchen. You put your pots and pans within reach of the stove so that as you're cooking, you can easily just grab that pan and keep going. You don't want to have to stop, go search for something, grab it, and then start, keep going. What you want to be able to do is have seamless flow. So the easier you make it on yourself, the more items that you stick that are similar together, you have a designated spot, and then you keep them close to where you use them, all of a sudden it's going to be easy to grab them, and it's going to be easy to put them away. And you've got a system set up, right? So that all of a sudden you've just realized that you've created a system for yourself that's easy and that works, and you keep it up. And that's where self-love-based decisions come in, because this is not a one-time thing. You're always going to be bringing things into your home. There's no way that you can get around that, which means you're going to have to keep up this for the rest of your life. And so you have to make that small self-love-based decision to have the boundary of this is the amount of clutter that I'm okay with, and once it gets past that point, I'm going to pick it up immediately, and I'm going to put it where it belongs. Because, yeah, I mean, I gather junk mail, and at the end of the week, I'll go through it as I'm watching a TV program and just, you know, shred the bits that I don't, you know, want anybody seeing and recycle the rest, because I don't want a boatload of junk mail sitting in my apartment. And so it's a self-love-based decision that I do once or, you know, probably maybe three times a month to just declutter that area of my home. And it makes my life easier and better because I don't allow it to get to a point where the job is so big that it's overwhelming and I just give up on myself.
Yeah, that's, you know, I can see where that, and I know for me, whenever I have established those patterns of, you know, where, you know, something has its place and, you know, it's so much easier. I mean, it's almost an unconscious action to be able to, like my keys, you know, there's one spot that, you know, as soon as I walk in, that's where the keys go. You know, now where I get into trouble is if I was distracted and sometimes don't put them in the place that they're designated. But that is, you know, that happens on occasion. But for the most part, you know, being able to have that, you know, everything has its own place, you know. For me, you know, that's really worked well in, you know, avoiding those senior moments of what did I do with my keys, or, you know, where did I put that, you know, whatever, you know, the last time I had it. So, and prevents a lot of having to, you know, kind of redo or walk through what it was that I did before, you know, in order to locate something. So,
think about all the things that you avoid in that. It's not just avoiding wasting time, but you're avoiding freaking out because you're going to be late, getting frustrated, feeling annoyed. I mean, all of those, like, ugly energies that you don't want to be feeling just got completely avoided because you chose to designate a spot for your keys. One simple, smart decision changes all of that.
Exactly. Now, you know, we've been talking about self-love for these, you know, self-love decisions for, you know, being able to help us, you know, make the decisions, you know, to declutter. What if we have someone in our life who loves clutter a little bit more than you do, you know, be it in the home or even in the office? You know, it seems that, you know, self-love is a very internal thing. So are there ways that one can motivate someone else to become more self-loving?
Well, normally what I recommend that is if you're trying to influence somebody else, the best thing you can do is show them by being that and by embodying that yourself. So if you want to inspire somebody to get more organized, do it yourself. Get yourself so organized that things look really great, because that's really the only thing you can do. I mean, you can have a conversation with them, but it needs to be open communication without judgment, and allowing them to communicate to you why it is that, you know, they are a little bit more disorganized. Sometimes it could be something as simple as, oh, well, that's what I was taught by, you know, my family member. I didn't even realize that was, you know, that I was being disorganized. Or maybe it's that they're embarrassed about it and, you know, they're not comfortable talking about it. But if it can be, the subject can be brought up in a non-threatening, non-judgmental way where some ideas are brought out and some solutions that can be discussed, then they might be a lot more open to that situation. If it's a living situation, it really, you have to have communication of this is, you know, this is how I'd like to see things work. How do you want to see things work? And then you have to work on having compromise. But if you don't have the other party on board with having that compromise, it makes it really, really difficult. So, you know, you have to, if they're not willing, they're not willing. You cannot change somebody else. I mean, I've had people hire me. I've gone into their homes. And literally within 2 days, their home looked worse than it did before I walked in because they weren't ready or willing to accept that change. You cannot change someone if they don't want to. But if you want to try, then embodying what it is that you'd like them to follow is the first step. Having open communication is the second step. And then in the end, it's a compromise of do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yeah, yeah. So basically lead by example. I mean, that seems to be the – yeah, okay. Now, you know, since we talked a little bit about, you know, people learning this from parents, what is the best way for parents to – teach their kids? I mean, you know, you said that you came from a very, you know, diverse organizational styles as far as parents. When it comes to teaching kids organization and, you know, and avoiding clutter, what are your suggestions for parents out there?
Well, to be honest with you, I think any child who is over the age of three, what a great skill set set for them to learn how to make love-based decisions, how to set boundaries, how to have priorities. I mean, these are all great things that are going to help them get through their school and their younger years, and then help them thrive as adults. So I would say, hey, start teaching this to your kids. Learn how to get and stay organized yourself first, and then start teaching that skill to your child so that they're responsible for organizing their and keeping their own room tidy, you know, and that's going to help them also with their homework and, you know, choosing the right friends and all of those other kind of things that they're trying to learn and navigate as a kid. But the more that you can set up those self-love-based boundaries and make those decisions, I think it's going to help any child in the long run end up making great decisions about who they surround themselves with, what activities they get involved in, and what other choices that they want to make, but also learning systems about, hey, here's how I can get from A to B and make it as easy as possible and as successful as possible. So these are great things that you can all learn and do as a family. In fact, I do the 10-week course not only for individuals, but I have one that's available for families so that you're all organizing and learning these systems together so that you can bond as a more cohesive unit. And then you're going to have more time to spend with each other as a family versus all of you in chaos doing various different things, not really being cohesive, and nobody knowing where anybody is at the other time because there's really no structure to it. So this is a great way to add structure to your family life and teach some really great skills that are going to benefit the adults and the kids.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I have to say that I think that there is there's also a genetic component, and the reason that I laugh about this, you know, as far as an internal thing, because I had a pair of friends when I was living in Las Vegas. I had some friends, and both parents were not organized at all. I mean, they were, as a matter of fact, their life was very chaotic, and I think maybe that might have contributed. But their son, at like age five, it was about five or six, it was probably four or five, that, I mean, he would have everything was organized in his room. Things, shoes were in certain order, and he would tell his parents when they would put something, that doesn't go there, it goes here. I mean, this kid had, he would have been a dream for you, you know, because he was like, he had his clothes organized, his toys were organized. I mean, I just had to laugh. I mean, it was one of those things that I know that he did not get it from his parents, but I'm thinking that maybe their disorganization kind of backfired in a way, in a sense, you know what I mean? Caused him to want to be organized.
No, you totally hit the nail on the head. You either learn it from your parents or the system that they use. Now, it could be that either the kid grew up in a very chaotic household, and so they react in the total opposite way by having to have control over literally everything. Mm-hmm. And my best friend growing up, I would go over to her house and there was stuff everywhere until you got into her room and everything was, you know, precise, neat. She folded her underwear when she was in sixth grade. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? But it was in reaction to the chaos of her family life. But the opposite can happen where, say, you grow up with somebody who's, you know, militaristically perfectionist, and it's so stifling and so controlling that you go into the complete and utter opposite and your entire life goes into chaos and there's clutter everywhere because you couldn't stand being under that control. So it can swing either way. But yeah, I mean, you'll either learn it because you watch that behavior and you're emulating it, or you watch that behavior and hated it so much you go in the actual opposite direction of it.
Yeah. I'm sure that was the case. Well, now, for people listening, what are some of the common trouble spots or pitfalls that people maybe fall into when it comes to, you know, implementing some organization into their life?
I think a lot of people have difficulty trying to find the right products that are going to help them, and there's so many products on the market today that that in itself can be overwhelming. Or, you know, they look so cute that people end up buying a bunch of stuff that they don't really actually need. And so when you're looking for products to help you get and stay organized, what I always recommend is that you merge form with function. I want you to buy something that you really like looking at, because you're going to use it if you like looking at it. If you don't, you won't. But I also need it to function for you properly, because if it doesn't work in the right way, you're not going to use it. So I need you to look at it and make sure this is going to work for me, and it's going to look good. It's going to look good as I'm using it too. And it also has to fit in the space that you're using it for. So you can't go and take, you know, say you have a lot of stuff in your bathroom and you're trying to get organized, so you grab like a big clear bin, plastic bin, and you throw half your stuff in there and then you leave it on the floor. First of all, and maybe it's half full, well, you've just gotten something that is way too big for the space and it's taking up precious space. B, you can't find anything because you've just thrown it all into one giant bin, so nothing is sorted. And C, a giant bin looks gross on your floor. So you've actually just created more of a problem than helping yourself. So make sure that it looks good, it functions in the way you need it to, and it fits in the space that you're going to be using it for. And then the other thing that people tend to get stuck on is they allow guilt, fear, and shame to get in their way. And so maybe they're going through their clothing and they run into a dress that they haven't worn in 5 years. And they go, oh, you know, but I spent so much money on it. And, you know, maybe I'll wear it again. We haven't worn it in 5 years. It's time to let it go.
Right.
Or, you know, they talk themselves out of it. The ego gets involved. It tells you some ridiculous story. Or you feel bad because you spent a lot of money on it and you never wore it. Or, you know, somebody gave it to you even though you're not wearing it, or, you know, it's related to a memory that you're not ready to let go even though you're not using it. So you really sometimes have to have maybe the awareness to take some time and to understand the true, if you can't decide or you kind of get this like, I want to throw it out but I can't make myself, to learn the reason why, because sometimes then you're able to let it go if you have an understanding of why you're afraid of letting it go. And sometimes it is just, well, maybe I'm going to wear it again, but then you have to go back to yourself and say, I'm going to make a self-love-based decision and say, I haven't worn it in 5 years, and I know there's something even better out there for me, and when I let this go, that something better out there is going to show up.
Yeah, that's great. You know, especially when it comes to clothing, you know, that kind of thing. That if you haven't worn it, I mean, I know I could probably go through my closets right now and do that very same thing and declutter quite a bit there, which I will starting tomorrow. Well, today, I'm not going to procrastinate. Go ahead and start that. Well, gosh, we're down toward the end of the show, but before we close, as far as the business person, do you have any tips maybe that you can give the person out there who's a business person that maybe they can, you know, implement to make their business more organized and less cluttered and more successful?
Well, I mean, you can take the same ideas that I just gave you for organizing your home. But, I mean, the first thing, if you're a business person, figure out and write down what your priorities are. Because once you understand them, you can very easily discern between what is clutter and is not going to lead you to your dreams and your goals, and what is. And, you know, and that is going to enable you to make much smarter, better decisions than it would if you really don't have a clear understanding of what your goals are, or if you're in such a state of, oh, my God, I just need to make a sale. I don't care who it is. No, you have to care who it is, and you have to understand who it is that's coming to your door, because if you start attracting people who are clients who are weighing you down, costing you a lot of time, costing you money, and you end up exhausted, you're not doing you or your business or them any good. And so the more that you understand what your goals are, who you want in your business, and how you want it to look, the easier it is for you to be able to clear out all that clutter. And, you know, especially with business people, making those self-love-based decisions and having those boundaries are imperative, because if you're setting up a business, it's really important for you to be able to focus on your goals and then go out and also focus on making sure you're getting enough sleep, making sure you're exercising regularly, making sure you're eating well, making sure you're having fun and you're spending time with family and friends, because that's what a well-rounded life is. And if you're just focused on one thing, it's going to wear you out a lot more quickly than it will if you're having so much fun doing what you're doing that it seems easy and just enjoyable. And that's really when the true success comes, when you get yourself so free of all the other clutter that doesn't matter that you can easily focus on what you want. It starts coming to you a lot more quickly and a lot more easily, and in a much more enjoyable way that you could ever experience if you didn't get rid of the clutter. So as an office person, I would say the first thing is you tackle that physical clutter, and then you start figuring out, do I have clients who are clutter? Are the activities that are business-based, are they contributing to what I'm doing, or are they considered cluttered? The associates I have in my life, are they supporting me, or are they ending up as clutter? And when you start asking yourself those questions and having that awareness, it really enables you to focus more clearly and accomplish a lot more in a lot less time.
I agree. Well, Allison, this has really been great. You've got me motivated, so I'm sure our listeners will as well. So now, if people wanted to, they could schedule private time with you, correct, through your website?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, everything can be found on my website.
Great. So those MP3s, too, for the do-it-yourselfers, and also your blog there. And I do want to let people know, I really liked your article, your blog, Why Perfectionism is the Enemy of Organizing. So people can go there. That was a really good blog post. So definitely people can check that out. So, and also you on social media as well?
Yep, you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google+. So, yeah, Facebook I think is probably the one that I put the most on. So, yeah, I've got motivational things, anything that I think is going to help you declutter. So check it out and sign up and start following me.
Great. That sounds good. Well, thank you very much for your time, Allison. I really appreciate it. This has really been a fun and very informative conversation.
Great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it, Robert. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Allison Kiro, and we've been talking about organizing and decluttering your life. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is ackorganizing.com. Again, it's ackorganizing.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.